Our Heavenly Father, we come before you. We ask that you be with us and fill us with your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, and help us and lead us into all truth. Help us not to be just a hearer of your word, and help us to be a doer of your word, and so that we do your will and fulfill your command and be a good and faithful servant and useful servant in your sight, so that in due time you're going to bless us. I pray that you speak through your servant to your children, and so that we understand your word, and give us the ability, empower us to do. And I pray all this in the name of Lord Jesus. Amen. Sorry, could you read that chapter 2, 1 Timothy?
1 Timothy chapter 2. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator, between God and men, that the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. And for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth, I am not lying, and a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer, without anger or disputing. I also want women to dress modestly, with decency and propriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or expensive clothes, but with good deeds appropriate for women who profess to worship God. A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. She must be silent. For Adam was formed first, then Eve, and Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman who was deceived and became a sinner. But women will be saved through childbearing, if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with propriety.
Yeah. The second chapter of Timothy, verse 1. First of all, Paul said to the pastor of the church of Ephesus, in verse 1 all the way to verse 7. Verse 8, then he speaks to the rest of the congregation, for male congregation. Okay, for men, mainly for husbands. And then from verse 9 all the way to verse 15, and talking to woman is a wife. Verse 9 to verse 15, how should a wife behave? What should a woman behave in a church? So I divide this portion of the scripture into three parts. First of all, Senior Pastor Paul, he talked to the young pastor. What should a young pastor do in the church of Ephesus? 1 to 7. Verse 8, talk to the male congregation. Verse 9, all the way to 15, talk to the female congregation. You got that? Okay, now talk to the pastor. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayer, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. He expects the pastor to devote his time on requests for everyone, prayer for everyone, intercession for everyone, and give thanks for everyone. Not only for everyone, specifically in verse 2, he named kings, for kings and for all those in authority. On May 2nd, we will have a federal election, and we should pray for Stephen Harper, pray for the leader of the Liberal government, and also the NDP. We pray that God will pick and choose his servant to be the Prime Minister of Canada. And why should we pray for kings and for all those in authority? There's a reason for that in verse 2, the latter part. So that we may live peaceful life and a quiet life in all godliness and holiness. In other words, when you are old enough, when you reach 18 years of age, you should involve in the voting. Don't ever vote for someone who doesn't help you to live a godly life and holy life. In other words, if the leader does not believe in God, very much likely he will not guide you to live a peaceful and quiet life in all godliness and holiness. If he is wicked himself, very likely he will guide you to live a wicked life. So in order for us to vote for the leader in office, we want to make sure we know what did he believe. If he wasn't a Christian, we won't vote for him. Okay? Secondly, if he claims himself to be a Christian, but what he does contradict what the Bible says, then he's not a genuine one. Right? We challenge him, we don't vote for him either. Okay? So before you vote, you have to pray for them so that their life be changed, so that they be used by God, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. And in here, in verse 3, the Bible say, praying for all the people, especially for kings and all those in authority, praying for them, request be made for them, intercession be made for them, thanksgiving be made for them. This is good in God's sight. This pleases God our Savior. Why? Because God our Savior wants all men to be saved. He wants everyone to be saved. So if we pray for leaders, if the leader a good leader, a godly servant, so God can use the leader to lead a lot of people to Jesus Christ. You understand? So that's why we pray for them. If he's a good leader, the whole nation will be blessed by God. If he is a bad leader, the whole nation will face famine. Just like King Aha is not a good leader. So, make sure we pray now until May 2nd. Pray for the Prime Minister of Canada in the federal election on May 2nd. I know now you people cannot vote, right? You're not 18 yet. But for those people who are over 18, then you can vote. In verse 3, praying be made, prayer be made, intercession be made, thanksgiving be made, request for them be made, especially for kings and all those in authority. Doing so pleases God our Savior. This is good in God's sight. God our Savior wants all men to be saved and want all men to come to a knowledge of the truth. You know what? There's two things God wants. Okay? He wants all men to be saved. Secondly, He wants all men to come to know the truth. Come. First of all, you write down two things God wants. God, our Savior, in verse 4, want all men to be saved. Secondly, He wants all men to come to a knowledge of the truth. Nowadays, in the church, we find out that a lot of Christians, they are saved by God, but they do not have the knowledge of the truth. Do you understand? So, although they were saved by grace through faith, but they don't know much about the truth. That's not good. They don't know much about the Bible. So, you really need to pray for, not only praying that they come to know Jesus, not only that, they be saved by our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that all men, because God wants all men to come to a knowledge of the truth, we pray that they not only be saved by grace, pray that they know God. A lot of people, although they are saved, they don't know much about God. I want you to write down the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. Remember what Paul saying? Chapter 4, verse 11. It was He who gave some to be apostle, some to be prophet, some to be evangelist, and some to be pastor and teacher. Why would God give apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher to the church? Why would He do that? So that these godly servants can prepare God's people, can prepare Christians, can prepare believer, verse 12, for works of service. And a pastor's main task is praying for them. Second main task is to teach them, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Verse 13, chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians, until we all reach unity in the faith, and we all reach unity in the knowledge of the Son of God. The Son of God is the truth. The knowledge of the truth. You understand? The knowledge of the truth. If they have the knowledge of the truth, and then they become what? Become mature. Okay? We all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. What do I want you to write down? I want you to write down, when Paul write a book of Ephesians to the saints in Ephesus, he encouraged the saint to come to the knowledge of the truth, because that is God our Savior want, all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then right beside a knowledge of the truth, you write down Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. 4:13. Ephesians 4:13, until we all reach unity in the faith, until we all reach unity in the knowledge of the Son of God, unity in the knowledge of the truth. When we reach unity in the faith and unity in the knowledge of the Son of God, and we will become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. When we become mature, up to what point we become mature? When people look at you, they see Jesus Christ in you, then you are mature. You understand? So I want you to write it down right beside Ephesians chapter 4 verse 13. You write down 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 3. Chapter 2 verse 4, I'm sorry. Chapter 2 verse 4. 2:4. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 4. So I go back. Holly, do you understand what I'm trying to say? Up to what point, when people look at us, then we are mature? Yeah. When they see Jesus in you. That's spiritual meaning, right? In the spiritual sense. Like physical sense. Up to what point when I see Daniel become mature? When you reach certain height, right? Physically. Gain certain strength. And you do well at school. Diligent and hardworking. You don't need your parents to tell you what to do. And you don't mess up your own bedroom. You don't throw all the used clothes on the floor, on the carpet. You clean it up. When your mommy and daddy get into your room, smell it, smell good. You don't have dirty shock lying in the floor. You understand? You don't mess up your room. You make your room neat and tidy. Then you are mature. That's in a physical sense. Are you mature, Cindy, in that aspect? Do you mess up your own? Do you have your own room? Or you share with?
I have my own room.
You have your own room. Will you invite me to enter into your room now? That you think Pastor John will say, wow, it is clean, tidy, and neat. Or it is messy, dirty, smelly. I ask Belinda to describe.
Holly.
Holly, I'm sorry. I ask Holly to describe. How is your sister room? M word, messy, or T word? Tidy and neat. You have to tell me. You cannot lie to me. You know what I mean? You haven't seen me. Okay, now let I want Cindy to describe it honestly to Pastor John.
It's messy.
Messy. Okay. That means, if I look at your room, that means you are not mature enough. Right? Okay. Now, Holly, how old are you? You're 1 year older than Cindy, right? Or 2 years? Oh, wow. Wow, so he is so kind. Wow, then you get a good brother, man. He wash your feet and then clean it up.
Yeah.
You can't find a brother like that.
Yeah.
Wow, good for you, man. So how do you describe that then? Your room is, you have to speak louder because we are recording. Nasty, tidy, or neat? Which word that would you describe your room? Messy. You know, you think your daddy, mommy, especially your mommy, is happy about that? Do you want to upset your mother, or you want to please your mother? Do you want to please your mother? Okay, if you want to please your mother and honor your parents, you will live long. It will do good to you. Okay? So starting from today, help your mother to do clean up your own room, okay? You know what I mean? You know, so Holly, you have to do the same thing too, right? So next week, I'm going to check it out. I will ask the same question again. So do you help yourself to clean up your own room? Okay? She will be accountable to you, and you will be accountable to her. Okay? Right? So make sure that next week I'm going to ask you the same question. And I'm going to ask your mom too to check it out. Okay? Is it a deal? Yes or no? Let me encourage you one thing. If you make your room neat and tidy, that is a sign of your maturity. In a physical sense. But Daniel, what is the spiritual sense based upon Paul of a mature Christian based upon Ephesians chapter 4 verse 13? What is a mature Christian is like? 4:13 Ephesians. Attain unity in the faith. We reach the unity in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. In other words, when everybody look at Moses or look at Daniel, they don't see anyone, they see Jesus Christ live in you. Oh man, you are a mature Christian. Sometimes maturity has nothing to do with your age. Some people are very young and yet they become mature. You know, same as Moses saying to Hannah, saying, I'm going to wash your feet and I'm going to clean it up too. That is maturity. You know what I mean? That is good stuff. You know, the Lord will bless us if we do that. And go back to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Paul is a senior pastor to the church of Ephesus. And Timothy is a young pastor to the church of Ephesus. And Timothy facing a lot of difficulty working in that church. So he wanted to quit, he gave up. So that's why Paul write the first letter, 1 Timothy. But it's not good enough to encourage him. He still hasn't come back to serve in that church. So Paul write the second letter, 2 Timothy. After Timothy received the second letter, Timothy turned around and repent and go back to the church to serve. Lo and behold, when he come back to the church to serve, and he was locked up in the prison because he preached the truth, the leader in the church, do not like the way that he preached. Just like when Jesus Christ preached his first sermon in his own hometown, and people kick him out. So how do I know that? In Hebrews chapter 13, he was just released from prison. Timothy was released from prison. It's not because Timothy is stealing something. It's not because Timothy is doing something wrong for the church or for God. It's just because he's preaching the gospel. People thinking that he's the enemy of God and lock him up. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 23. I want you to know that our brother Timothy, that is the same person Paul wrote the letter, 1st and 2nd Timothy. I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released, is released from prison. Why was he locked up to prison? In chapter 1 of 1st Timothy, because Paul urged Timothy. Chapter 1 verse 3, I urge you, when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus, so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrine any longer, nor to devote themselves to myth and endless genealogy. And this leader, this people, they hate Timothy. Lock him up, send him to prison. And so that's why Timothy was so scared, wanted to quit the job. But Paul wrote the 1st and 2nd Timothy, encouraged him to come back to be the pastor there. Lo and behold, he obeyed God, he ended up, was sent into the prison. And when the author of Hebrew wrote the last chapter, chapter 13, verse 23, he said, I want you to know that our brother Timothy has been released. If Timothy arrives soon, I will come with him to see you. You know, I don't know. 1 Timothy doesn't talk about his suffering that much. But when Paul writes the 2 Timothy, listen to what Paul is saying, so that you have a gleam of what it's like to be a pastor in the church of Ephesus. Chapter 1 verse 8, so do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. Wow, the 1st Timothy, Paul didn't talk about that much of a suffering. 2nd Timothy, Paul encouraged his friends, his spiritual son. 2nd Timothy chapter 1 verse 2, to Timothy, my dear son. Wow, he wasn't a physical son, a spiritual son, okay? Paul lead him to Christ, cause him to grow into a good Christian, mature Christian, and tell him, come on, don't be afraid to be locked up in the prison. I was a prisoner of Christ too, you know? And so that's why chapter 1 verse 8, saying to Timothy, so do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord. Why would people feel ashamed to testify about our Lord? Because when you tell them about Jesus Christ, they tell you, shut up. Who do you think you are to tell me about Jesus Christ? They don't like it. So you don't feel ashamed to testify about our Lord Jesus, or ashamed of me, his prisoner. You know, Paul was locked up when Paul wrote the First and Second Timothy. He was locked up in the prison. Paul was locked up. It's not because he's stealing something. It's not because he committed adultery. It's just because he preached the truth. Tell people about Jesus Christ. So he was a prisoner of Christ Jesus. Paul saying to him, do not be ashamed of me, his prisoner, Christ's prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, not leaning your own power. You rely upon the power of God, then you'll be able to join with Paul in suffering for the gospel. Lo and behold, he received this letter, he joined with Paul, and he preached the gospel again. Bang! He get locked up. And later on, chapter 13, verse 23 of Hebrew, he was released, right? So, Daniel, if the Lord really call you to be a pastor, prepare. That's why I'm studying the book of Ephesians. Book of Ephesians, the senior pastor Paul write a letter to the saint in Ephesus. And now we study 1st and 2nd Timothy. And Timothy is a young pastor in the church of Ephesus. Why? 1st Timothy chapter 1 verse 3. I urge you, when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus, so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrine any longer, nor to devote themselves to myth and endless genealogy. And Paul commanded him to do certain things. People don't like it. People kick him out. You understand? When the Lord calls you to do things, people may not like you. You have to prepare yourself to suffer for Jesus Christ. But do not feel ashamed to suffer. We, as servants of God, should feel ashamed if we don't tell people the truth. Right? Tell the truth. In the future, the Lord will reward you. Okay? Now go back. 2 Timothy. Remember what I say? First Timothy. I divided second chapter. First Timothy second chapter divided into three parts. The first part is chapter 2, verse 1 to 7. Paul, the senior pastor, talking to the young pastor. What should you do in the church? What is your task? What is your job description? And then Paul in verse 8 talking to a husband. What should a husband or man should do in the church? And 30, talk to a woman or wife. Verse 9 to 15. Oh, it's amazing, isn't it? Isn't it Paul is being not fair to a lady, telling the lady so much, verse 9 to 15, and only one verse to man? Because you know what? I just go back to what did Paul teach to a man. He teaches the same thing to a pastor. Chapter 2, verse 1, I urge the young pastor, Timothy, first of all, that request, prayer, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, not just for everyone, especially for kings and all those in authority. So that's why I say, before May 2nd is the federal election, make sure we pray for them. And when you come to voting, don't vote those who deny to be Christian. If they claim themselves to be Christian, make sure their policy, their party policy, are in conformity with the biblical teaching. Why? Because the Bible says, in the latter part of verse 2, that we may live a peaceful and quiet life in all godliness and holiness. If the leader doing things that is against God's word, if if the leader have a policy that is ungodly policy, unholy policy, then make sure you don't vote him in. Okay? We not only pray for them, we do something too to stop that. Chapter 2, verse 3. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. Remember I say that right beside, come to a knowledge of the truth. You write down Ephesians chapter 4, verse 13. What is a mature Christian is like? We all reach unity in the faith and unity in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the full measure of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 5. For there is one God. Okay, you remember I mentioned two things in verse 4? What are the two things that God wants? God, our Savior, wants all men. First thing, want all men to be saved. Now a lot of Christians are saved because they hear the gospel. And then once they are saved, they don't read the scripture. They don't know much about the truth. And God, our Savior, not only want all men to be saved, on top of that, God want all men to come to a knowledge of the truth. And what is the knowledge of the truth? In verse 5. Verse 5 all the way, verse 5 all the way to verse 6 is the knowledge of the truth. What is the truth? In verse 5, there is one God. You know what? If you ask your friend, especially if they believe in idol, they say there are so many gods. But that's not the truth, that's false. Okay? What is the truth? The truth is, there is one God. What else is the truth? There is one mediator. There's only one mediator between man and God, or between God and man. No one can help you other than the mediator. You know what does mediator mean? Mediator means the one who negotiates, like in a business sense. Mediator is talk to the employer. Mediator also talk to the employee. Because employer want to pay less, employee want the employer to pay more. They don't agree with one another. And you as a mediator, what are you going to do? Well, could you raise a little bit up the salary, and could you lower down your expectation? You understand what I'm trying to say? This is what a mediator do, right? So Jesus Christ is our mediator, and he prayed to God, said, God, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing, right? And then a mediator would talk to man and say, wow, you better live a holy life, because God is a holy God. You understand? Raise your standard, right? And ask God for forgiveness. You understand? That's a mediator. How many mediator between God and man? There's only one. That's the truth. We all have to come to a knowledge of the truth. That truth is different from the knowledge of the secular world. Before I was a Christian, I thought there are thousands and thousands of gods in the universe. But the truth is, there's only one God, our Heavenly Father. One Lord. One mediator, right? That's the truth. So we all, God want all men, in verse 4, not only to be saved, but also to come to a knowledge of the truth. What is the truth? I want you to write down, the truth is in verse 5 and verse 6. What is the truth? The truth is one God, one mediator between God and man. Who is he? The man, Christ Jesus. That's the truth. You know what I mean? And then, Verse 6, Christ Jesus gave himself as a ransom for all men. If you ask the non-Christian, you ask them, why would Jesus Christ die on the cross? Very likely they will say, unless they hear the gospel, they will say, well, because they done something wrong. Jesus Christ have done something wrong. He sins against God. That's why he was crucified. As a form of punishment. You understand? But the truth is, he's a sinless man. He's a righteous man. He's a good man. He died for our sins. The righteous for the unrighteous. The sinless for the sinful man. You understand? That's the truth. Christ Jesus gave himself as a ransom for all men. The testimony given in this, the testimony given in this proper time. In other words, this is the testimony Paul gave. Okay? This is the truth that Paul explained to the young pastor Timothy, because he wanted the pastor to know the truth, to come to the knowledge of the truth. If the pastor doesn't know the truth, then how would the congregation know the truth? You understand? So he wanted to make sure Timothy know about that, the truth. Verse 7. Okay, the last latter part of verse 6, the testimony given in this proper time. When the time comes, everybody knows there's only one God, one mediator between God and man. Who is he? The man, Christ Jesus. And what have he done? He gave himself as a ransom, not just for me, for all men, not just for Christian, also for non-Christian, but just that unfortunately they don't believe, so they cannot be saved. Christ died for non-Christian too. You understand? But just that they say, I don't want it. I don't want it. Do you want the salvation? Do you want to be saved? Then you better read the scripture. You understand? I want you to do two things. Is it too much of asking? First of all, clean up your room. No? Okay. And secondly, could you just read one chapter a day of the Timothy? So one chapter a day, how many chapters in 1 Timothy? Only 6 chapters. Okay? Only 6 chapters in 1 Timothy. So by next week, you finish the entire book of 1 Timothy. Because there's only 6 chapters. Could you take a look? To see how many chapters in 1 Timothy? So check how many chapters? Molly, check how many chapters in the First Timothy? 8? 6? Okay. So once a day? That means 6 days you finish it. Is it too much of asking? I think it's only at most 15 minutes a chapter, at most. If you're fast reading, it will be even less of time. But I don't just want you to just read it through and without understanding it. Circle something you don't understand, come back to me and ask me the question. Is it fair? Is it okay? Okay. What did I want you to do? Two things. Same as Jesus said, you know, God our Savior want all men to do two things. Want all men to be saved, first thing. Secondly, want all men. Could you read that? Chapter 2, verse 4. Want all men to be saved, and want all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. Right? Right? What I ask you to do is really what God wants you to do. He wants you to come to the knowledge of the truth, right? How do you come to the knowledge of the truth? By reading it. Hey, I didn't know that you are left-handed. You must be a smart girl. Are you a smart girl? Are you? You don't know, right? Well, left-handed, right? Oh, man. Okay. Okay. Let's keep reading. What has the man, Jesus Christ, done? He gave himself as a ransom for all men. Because of his death, we are set free. Three from sins, three from bondage, three from the suppression from Satan. The testimony given in its proper time. When the time comes, we will know what Paul saying, wow, it is true. We all know that. Verse 7. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying. And I am a teacher of the true faith to the Gentile. Okay? So, Paul is a good pastor, good apostle, good teacher, and he wants his student, the young pastor, Timothy, to follow his footsteps. And for this purpose, what purpose? Making the truth known to all people. Want all men to come to the knowledge of the Son of God, of the truth. So that's why Paul said, I'm telling the truth. I'm not lying. And I was appointed a herald, the preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the true faith to the Gentile. Verse 8. I want men everywhere to lift up holy hand in prayer without anger or disputing. You know what? Now there are how many girls? 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 girls in here. I want you to make sure you know this. What did the Lord require of man to do everywhere is to lift up holy hand in prayer. You know what? If you know now you are too young for having a boyfriend, but I'm talking to Hannah, make sure you don't pick the man who doesn't like praying. Because when a man become the head of the household, he gonna face a lot of stress, pressure from the society, from the company, from everywhere. How can the man handle all this stress and strain? How can he stand up under this kind of stressful situation? And Paul warned all men everywhere to lift up holy hand in prayer. When you cannot handle the situation, you lay your anxiety and burden, hard work, and ask Jesus to help you out without anger or disputing. You know what? If you marry a man who doesn't know how to pray, when he faces difficulty situation, he become angry and he become very disputing and he's going to fight with you. You understand what I'm saying? Make sure you ask him, are you a Christian? If he is not a Christian, Hannah, you say goodbye. You say goodbye, okay? And secondly, if he say he's a Christian, then you tell me, what do you like to do most? He say video game. You forget it too. He say, I love to go to prayer meeting. Then you one night you're going to follow after him to see And did he go on Wednesday? Did he go to the church? When he did go to the church, did he raise up his holy hand and pray? You know why? Because in the future situation, when you establish a family that you face difficulty, you're going to tell your husband become very angry and disputing. He's not solving the problem. The only way to solve the problem is ask God, Jesus Christ, our Lord, to help us. If he doesn't know how to pray, he won't handle the difficult situation to Jesus Christ. You end up carrying the burden yourself. You don't need a man. You give him the problem and then he give it back to you and arguing, disputing and saying bad things to you, right? Or you want someone to help you really solve your problem. The only way to solve the problem is praying. If he doesn't know how to pray, he didn't like to pray, well, you're in deep trouble. You're asking for a problem. You don't need to marry a rich man, but you need to marry a man who lift up his holy hand all the time in prayer. Sally, you understand what I'm trying to say? I'm not asking you to start dating any boy, okay? But I'm saying that maybe 10 years from now, 10 long years from now, okay? And if someone chasing after you, you ask him, are you a Christian? Which church did you go to? What did you do on Wednesday? He may think, oh, maybe Sally date me out. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying, what did you do on Wednesday? That means I'm asking, did you go to prayer meeting? You understand what I'm trying to say? Okay. One thing he required of man to do. What's that, Daniel? He wants men everywhere to lift up holy hand in prayer. The only way to solve our problem is lift up our holy hand in prayer without anger or disputing. Doesn't matter how difficult the situation that you are in. Lift up your holy hand in prayer, the problem will be solved. How? I don't know how, but that is how it works. I want you to write beside this. I want you to write down Psalm 25 verse 15. Sorry, I want you to read that. 25:15. Psalm 25:15.
My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only He will release my feet from the snare.
When you pray, I show you how to pray, okay? When you pray, you go to the window, make sure that you can lift up your eyes, look to the sky, talk to the Heavenly Father. Unless you're in Hong Kong in the high rise, then you may he look to the window, that's it, that's your neighbor. Find a place you can lift up to, look to the sky, you know, because our Lord is in heaven. My eyes are ever on the Lord, for only He will release my feet from the snare. When you are in a big, difficult situation, lift up your eyes on our Lord Jesus Christ, for only our Lord Jesus Christ will help you. So if your husband, if your boyfriend doesn't know how to pray, good luck. Do you got that? Hannah, it would be good luck, you know. Make sure you bring your boyfriend to see Pastor John. Check him out first, man. I mean, lady. Okay. And now talk to the woman. What should the woman do? Verse 9 to 15. Paul saying that, I want... Now, although in verse 8, I say, I want men. Who is I? That's Paul. Paul want men everywhere to lift up holy hand in prayer without anger or dispute. And then verse 9, I also want women to dress modestly with decency and propriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearl or expensive clothes. I want to stop here. Although the word say I means Paul, right? But I want you to circle the word I and write down something. Write down 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 2. So who is this I? And also I want you to, other than you write down 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 2, other than writing 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 2, I also want you to write down John chapter 13 verse 20. Then you understand who this I. Although is I mean Paul, but in reality it is our Lord Jesus Christ, based upon Peter teaching and based upon Paul John teaching. And also I want you to write it down, and based upon Paul teaching too, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 8. You know what? Based upon Apostle Peter teaching, Apostle Paul teaching, Apostle John teaching, although Paul say I mean Paul, but in reality it means our Lord Jesus Christ. So Daniel, I want you to read 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 2, and then Hannah, I want you to read John 13:20, and then Sally, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 verse 8. First of all, 2 Peter 3, 2.
When they see the...
No, chapter 3, 2 Peter. Chapter 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 2.
I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the commands given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles.
So, I explain these Bible verses to you then so that you understand. Peter say, I want you to recall. Recall mean remember, think about the words spoken in the past by the holy prophet. In other words, I want you to recall the Old Testament. You write that OT. And the command given by our Lord and Savior, that is New Testament. How did our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, give his command to us? Is through your apostle. In other words, according to Peter saying, whatever the apostle saying, it is the command given by our Lord Jesus Christ. You understand? What Peter say? Hey, you better listen to me, because I'm apostle. Jesus Christ spoke through me. You understand? So in other words, if I simplify this statement, how would I say? Peter say, I want you to recall both OT and New T, both Old Testament and New Testament. New Testament is the command given by our Lord Jesus Christ. How did he give the command to us? Through who? Through your apostle. Whatever the apostle writing is Jesus' command. Does it make sense? Okay, so who read the second gospel? John chapter 13 verse 20. Who going to read that? Is it Hannah or you? You?
No.
Who? Hannah?
Yeah.
13:20?
I tell you the truth, whoever accepts anyone I send accepts me, and whoever accepts me accepts the one who sent me.
So what does it mean? In other words, what if I don't accept Apostle John teaching? So who do I really reject? Jesus Christ. If I reject Jesus Christ, I reject God the Father. I will be in deep trouble. Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 20. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Whoever accept anyone I send, accept me. Paul was sent by God, John was sent by God, Peter was sent by God as an apostle, If you accept them, that means you accept Jesus Christ. If you reject them, that means you reject Jesus Christ. Whoever reject Jesus Christ, reject the one who sent Jesus Christ. It's the Father, Heavenly Father. Who read the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 8. Take a look at what Paul is teaching. 4:8.
Therefore, he who rejects this instruction does not reject man, but God, who gives you his Holy Spirit.
Wow, scary, eh? Therefore, he who reject this instruction does not reject man, but God. He who accept this instruction does not accept man, but God. Right? Who give you his Holy Spirit? So, brother and sister, listen to me carefully. Even though Jesus Christ himself did not write the New Testament, he wrote the New Testament through the apostle. That means it is Jesus' command. Does it make sense? Why? Because they are sent by Jesus. Wow, what's the proof? Hannah, you read that. John 20:21. As my Father, Heavenly Father, has sent me, now I send you, right? 20:21. Read it out loud.
Again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you.
So if Jesus Christ is sending us, you reject my teaching, that means you are rejecting who? Jesus Christ. It's kind of scary too, right? It's not Paul. Apostle Paul, Apostle Peter, Apostle John, his own personal opinion. No, it's Jesus' command. Does it make sense? It makes sense then. Okay, let's go back. 1 Timothy chapter 2. Although Paul saying that, I want men, but in reality, it's Jesus Christ, one man everywhere to pray, right? Although Paul saying in verse 9, I want women to dress modestly. Actually, Jesus wants women to dress modestly, right? Does it make sense? Okay. With decency and propriety. You know, a lot of women dress with a lot of exposure. That's no good. That's not decency, you know? Not with braided hair or gold or pearl or expensive clothes. But with what? Dress with good deeds, appropriate for women who profess to worship God. If you proclaim to be a Christian who worship God, who serve God, then that is how we dress. That's how you decorate yourself with this kind of stuff, because that is valuable in God's sight. Verse 11. A woman should learn in quietness and full submission. You know what? I encourage you, for the lady in here, if you do not want to learn the lesson of quietness and full submission, don't get into marriage, because you will have a broken marriage, have divorce. You know why? Because God made man and woman. God made man to be the head of the household. He's the head of the body. So, Cindy, could you tell me which part of your body controlling your left-handed? It's your brain. It's your head. It's not your feet. Right? It's your brain. So who is controlling your family? It will be your husband. If you refuse to learn the lesson of quietness and full submission, if you always argue with him, oh man, I see all those women who divorce, they don't learn the lesson of quietness and full submission. You know? It's okay to be single, you know what? It's okay. You don't need to be to get married and then end up divorced. But if you say, "Wow, I'm a good wife. I learned the lesson of quietness and full submission," then you're going to have a happy marriage. You're going to have a happy marriage. Okay? Verse 12. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man. So, I think he just have a literal translation. But the meaning in here is like this. I do not permit a wife to teach or to have authority over her husband. It's not a woman over a man. So if that's the truth, and how come there's a lady pastor in the church, right? Because in here, verse 11, a woman should learn in quietness and full submission. Why? If you as a woman and learn it well, you're going to have a happy marriage. You're going to have a happy marriage. I don't care how beautiful you are, how much you're going to decorate yourself. If you keep talking, wow, your husband going to go nuts, I tell you. He's going to hit his head in the wall. You understand? You understand? You drive him crazy. Do you agree with that? Let me prove it to you. Can you tell me among all the men who has the large quantity, large number of wives? What's his name? Hannah? What's the name of that fellow?
Solomon!
What did Solomon say regarding woman? Do you know?
Proverbs
26. Eh? Turn to it. Read it to me. Solomon is the man who has 700 wives, 300 concubines. That means he has 1,000, you know? I don't know how can he handle that, okay? And what chapter? Chapter 31, that is a godly woman won't drive his wife go crazy, okay? I'm saying about a woman love to argue and drive her husband crazy, and based upon the teaching of Solomon, because Solomon knows about that. Solomon has a lot of wives, you know. He know what?
19.
Chapter what?
21:19.
I want you to read that. 21:19.
Better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome and ill-tempered wife.
Who want to live in a desert? Because live in desert, become quiet with his ear, you know, he won't hear. His wife keep giving him problems, you know what I mean? So, 21:19, better to live in a desert than with a quarrelsome wife and ill-tempered wife. You understand? And then, 21:9. Could you read that, Sally?
Yeah. Better to live on a corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife.
Hey, if you don't listen to Solomon, this advice you better listen, because he has a lot of experience, you know. You know what drives him nuts, you know. Hey, I tell you one thing, all the wives and concubines that Solomon has are beautiful. Don't tell me they're ugly. He's not stupid to marry an ugly wife. He's a king, okay? You understand what I mean? And all these women doesn't need to do the cooking either. You understand? All his day, you know, he decorate herself, right? Make herself beautiful to be attractive, to attract Solomon. But the thing is, Solomon saying that better to live on the corner of a roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. 21:19, better to live in the desert. Desert is not a good place to live. A corner of the roof is not a good place to live either. But at least it's better than living with a quarrelsome wife, you know what I mean? Oh, he can't stand it. Drive him nuts, okay? Hey, that fellow, he knows what he's talking about. Proverbs 25:24. He said that again, better to live on the corner of the roof than share a house with a quarrelsome wife. And then 27:15-16. A quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. Come on. Hey, that is nuisance, you know. If you have a leaky roof, that's bad enough already. Constant dripping, oh, come on. Hey, lady, I'm not talking about gentlemen now. I'm talking about lady, if you do not have not yet learned the lesson of quietness, and what? Quietness and what? And submission, full submission, don't get married. Okay? You end up divorcing, you know? A quarrelsome wife is like constant dripping on a rainy day, restraining her, stopping her from talking and talking and talking and nagging you. It's like restraining the wind or grabbing oil with the hand. How can you grab oil with hand? It's always leaking through your hand, you know what I mean? Hey, that means he has a lot of experience. He can't handle it, you know what I mean? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Lady and gentlemen, make sure you read Proverbs, one chapter a day. You know, it saves you a marriage, okay? Anyway, go back. So, I want you to write down full submission and quietness. You write down all these Proverbs that I quoted to you. Proverbs chapter 21, 9 and 19, right? Write down 21:9-19. And then you write down 24. And then 27:15-16, right? You know what? If you learn that lesson, full submission and quietness, I guarantee you, you have a happy marriage. You know what? You control, I tell you how to control your husband. You control your husband by full submission. You control your husband by quietness. You understand? You say, wow, I got to tell him. No, you don't need to tell him. Submission. Because a man can scarcely define a wife who is quiet and full submission. If he find one, he will not be stupid enough to divorce you because he will not find another one like that. Do you get a trick? You get a trick, eh? I learned it from the Bible, man. I know what I like and my wife is like, okay? I know that. I don't have a lot of experience, but I have only one wife, but I know what it really means. You understand what I'm trying to say? Okay, good. Verse 12. I do not permit a wife, circle the word, not a woman, a wife, to teach or to have authority over a husband. Because you know what? You make your husband lose faith, he's going to find another woman. You don't do that. You destroy your own life. But if you submit, oh man, he see that my wife's the best. He won't even look at any other woman. You understand? Okay? The reason Paul saying that I do not permit a wife to teach or to have authority over a woman, over a husband, is because by doing so, you make your husband upset. She must be what? The Bible say, she must be silent. Silent mean what? Quietness and full submission. You understand what I'm trying to say? By doing so, you control your husband. I tell you, okay? Verse 13. For Adam is a husband, right? For Adam was formed first, and then Eve is a wife, right? So in here, talk about is husband and wife. This is not talk about woman and man in general. In other words, let's say if the Lord called Hannah to be a pastor in the church, she can teach other men in the church, but you cannot teach your own husband. That's what it really means in here. You understand? Because by teaching your husband, you end up, you divorce your husband. He wants you to live a happy marriage. He didn't want you to have divorce and face tribulation, suffering, trial, and all this. You know what I mean? Okay, go back. 13. For Adam was formed first, then Eve. Who is the first? Adam. The first is the head. Okay? Now, 14. And Adam was not the one deceived. It was the woman. The woman means the wife, right? Eve was deceived. Who was deceived? By the snake, by the devil, by Satan. And then became a sinner. You see that? 15. But woman will be saved through childbearing if they continue in faith and love and holiness with propriety. In other words, if you live a godly life, you know what happened? By the time when you become pregnant, you have less pain in your childbearing. Wow, when I look at my wife in the delivery room, wow, she squeezed my hand. You know, I'm a skinny guy, you know. I'm just about to crack my knuckle, okay? It was painful. But if you live a godly life, you deliver a baby without that much of a pain. You understand? Because God reward the woman who learned in quietness and full submission and remain silent and not teaching over her own husband or have authority over her own husband. You know, in the movie you see a lot of women controlling husband. That is a fairy tale, but in reality it's not. That's why you see so many movie stars divorced once after another. You take a look at the Elizabeth Taylor, right? She tried to have authority over her husband, even though she was so rich and she's beautiful too, right? But she cannot maintain the same man, because man does not only look at the beauty of your face. They look at the inner beauty, quietness, silence, full submission, that can attract man. You learn the lesson? Learn it hard. You have a lot. How old are you now?
12.
12, you have another 10 years to learn. Right? Right? Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to understand your word is for our own good. You doing this is not just asking woman to suffer for her husband. No. You teach this kind of instruction. This give us this kind of advice so that we have a good and happy family. Lord, we know you are good. All your advice are also good. Help us to remember. I pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.